Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome back. It's 10 minutes past the hour. This is Faith Radio. On this very difficult day in the history of our country, we are so privileged to be joined by Christian therapist and college professor, Dr. Linda Mental. Good morning, Linda.
Hey, Bill, and I want to say that I really appreciate what you just read from Dr. Moore. I think the point that really struck me out of there is that it is very difficult for us for some reason, and I could speculate a little bit on why that is, for us to really grieve when we have things like this happen. It's so uncomfortable to sit with these very difficult feelings of loss. And as someone who lost a brother after a terrorist attack, I know that the last thing you want to do is sit in the reality of what happened and to feel some pretty deep-seated cries of anguish and loss, and just it's not a good feeling. And so I think what happens in American culture is we don't like to feel these terrible things. We don't like to acknowledge the sadness and the grief that goes along with grieving, and yet we have to in order to heal. And instead, what we try to do is we try to distract ourselves with other things. And I think some of the distractions Dr. Moore mentioned, where we start to jump on issues because of our frustration, we start to do other things. But we really do need to do what he said, which is take this time and just mourn with these families. When I woke up this morning, I just kept thinking, these are families who woke up from their night and said, wait, did that really happen yesterday? Is this real? Have I really lost this person that has been so important in my life? Are they no longer with me? And they're dealing with real, real loss, as we all are. So sad, so awful for those families and friends. And my heart just goes out to them because of the senseless way this happened, especially as someone who, not from a shooting, from a bomb, in my case, can identify with what those families feel like today.
Linda, I had no idea that you had lost a brother. Can you tell us what happened?
It was years ago before we really knew much about terrorism, so it was way before 9/11, and he was on a military mission on a commercial flight with a number of brass in the Army. And the mission, I'm not sure if it was top secret or it was not something he could discuss with us. I think it had to do with chemical warfare. He was a biologist and an officer. And his plane was blown up over New Delhi, India, and there were obviously no survivors. So it was my first understanding of what terrorism was all about. And it wasn't something that was happening, fortunately, on a regular basis, like we're beginning to see now. So, you know, when 9/11 hit and all these other things have started, it's just a reminder that there is an evil ideology in the world that is bent on getting rid of anyone who doesn't agree with them and think like they do. And instead of the contrast with Christianity, which is to love our enemies and to pray for those who despitefully use us and to bless those who curse us and show love to somebody who is not one of ours, this ideology says eradicate and kill. And it's something that we have to come to grips with and to understand how evil is real in the world. And I guess as a woman going to college, I was on my way to University of Michigan at that time, and as a woman going to college, the idea that there would be such evil in the world that would be so what I considered kind of random, it threw me into a crisis of faith, honestly, Bill, and I had to deal with the idea that, God, where were you when that plane was blown up? My brother was a believer. I'll know I'll see him one day again. But it was like, where were you? Where are you in the middle of this terrible evil? And why do you allow these horrible things to happen? I think a lot of us think about that when these terrible things happen. And, you know, we just have to understand that we live after the fall and that evil reigns right now. And like he said, there'll be a day when all of this heartache and sorrow and bad things will one day be gone. But in the meantime, we have to deal with what we have in our world, which is this struggle of good and evil right now.
Mm. Well, first of all, Linda, I'm so sorry that happened to you and your family. I had no idea, and I grieve with you even all these years later. I don't know about you. I was I was visiting a new church with my wife yesterday, and the pastor mentioned the Orlando attack, but he kind of mentioned it in passing, and I felt, this is sort of strange, I felt like it was kind of just a news report, and I'm not sure if the other people in the congregation were feeling that same way, but I still, even today, I'm feeling numb to this event. I know it's true, I know it actually happened, but it's so difficult to process the bigness of this, the just the immensity of this emotionally. Do you think that's a common reaction?
I do, and I think what's happened is we get so desensitized to these things because we see video of this kind of thing, unfortunately, on a regular basis on television and in other screens. You know, you can just click on something on YouTube or something that somebody shot from a phone, and you see these horrific, shootings. I remember my daughter sent me something of one of the former shootings where somebody had a cell phone, and you could hear the horror of the screams and all these different things. So we see this stuff. We see this stuff in movies. We see this stuff in real life on the news. And after a while, you get somewhat detached and desensitized. It's a little bit like people who are constantly first responders and people who have to deal with suffering and trauma all the time. I mean, I train doctors, and doctors have to deal with death and suffering on a continual basis. And there's a part of us that has to detach a little bit from that in order to cope with it. But we have to remain in touch with our empathy and, you know, focus on the reality of what is going on and just sit with that. I was somewhat disappointed, too, because it wasn't talked about in my church. Now, I lead a Sunday school class for 20-somethings, and my husband and I, and we dealt with it the entire hour. We talked about fear and anxiety and how do you deal with this, and is it real? Is it just something that happens in Orlando will never happen here? And we kind of forced our 20-year-olds to really think about what does this mean in the world? How does this impact us? What should our response be? And how can we just grieve for a few moments and pray for those people who are today just in terrible grief and loss? So, yeah, I think it is. There is a tendency because of the media coverage and because we have this so 24/7 in our face to be desensitized.
Dr. Linda Mental, our special guest here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll take a quick break and be right back. It's 17 past the hour.
Connecting faith to life every day. Faith 90.7 and AM 900.
Welcome back. 19 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with Dr. Linda Mental, who you can hear every weekend here on the Faith Radio Network. She's the relationship doctor, and Linda is a family therapist. She's also a professor at Liberty University. Linda, given the dramatic images that we are seeing on TV and we've seen over the past 24 hours, even those of us who weren't there can be impacted psychologically. And people who have suffered traumatic loss in the past can be particularly affected. And I'm wondering, what should a person do if, you know, they're watching this coverage? And first of all, I don't think we should be watching the nonstop coverage. I don't think that's healthy. But for somebody who's been watching this and they start to feel severe anxiety or even depression after watching coverage of the Orlando attacks, what should they do and what should they be watching for?
Well, you're making a really great point. Let's just explain that a little bit more in that we now know that people can suffer from what is called post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, people know it as. People can suffer from that by just witnessing trauma. So we used to think that you had to be right there in the trauma, and we didn't know really the side effects of people who actually witness trauma. And so as we watch, this is one of the concerns, especially one of the concerns with children, that you can be re-traumatized by watching trauma and witnessing trauma. So that's a really important point for our listeners to understand. If you do watch and you get what we call triggered, which means that it starts to trigger something in you that starts to be uncomfortable, like anxiety or fear, or you start to feel out of control, then you need to pay attention to those feelings, because it's telling you that whatever loss that you've had, whatever trauma that you have, has not been completely worked through, in that you're still reacting to that trauma. So that's when you need to get with somebody. I would say just begin to pray at that point and to ask the Lord to help calm you down, to bring you back to, you know, the reality that He's with you, that you're not to walk in a spirit of fear, because He's given us this power by the Holy Spirit. But then I would talk to somebody and say, okay, this is what I'm experiencing. You've got to help me kind of work through those feelings, put them in perspective in terms of what's happening then, what's happening now, and then maybe work with somebody in therapy, because it's not the kind of thing that we can just go through over the, you know, over an interview real quickly here, but it's, there's some work that needs to be done. Don't panic over it. Just go, okay, obviously something else is being triggered in my life. I need to deal with that. Whatever that issue is, I'm going to talk to a counselor, or talk to a pastor, or talk to somebody who understands trauma and get some help with that.
And sometimes we might not even realize the link, because it could be something that happened long ago. We
yes.
lost someone that we loved dearly in a tragic accident or through homicide or whatever it might have been. And then all of a sudden we start to feel these feelings welling up inside. And as you said, this secondary PTSD, it can trigger nightmares,
yeah.
flashbacks. There's all kinds of things that can happen. And you need to get help if you're starting to. And first of all, talk to somebody you love and tell them I'm feeling these things right now. Linda, I know you look to Psalm 46 in times like these to help us cope. And let's just spend the last few minutes going through that psalm and maybe applying it to this situation.
Yeah, it's a great psalm that really helped me. I spent lots of time, Bill, trying to understand suffering. And I think one of the big issues in the American church right now is we don't have a theology for suffering. Because we haven't had a lot of that in terms of terrorism and the kinds of things that people overseas are experiencing, but it's coming, it's here, it's in America now. And we have to understand, we have to put a biblical perspective on suffering. I've been reading through Daniel and Daniel 11 and 12, and our pastor's been on that series. And one of the things in Daniel is that Daniel has a vision, and he's in Babylon, he's in an exile country, things are really, really bad. And he has this vision, and the angel comes and gives him an interpretation and says, guess what, Daniel? It's going to get even worse. It's going to get even worse. It's not going to get better for a period of time. Prepare yourself. So Psalm 46 to me is a good preparation chapter where it talks about first, know who God is. Know that He's a very help, very present help in times of trouble, that He is the creator of all things. He's all-powerful. Nothing happens in our world away from His watchful eye. So none of this is a surprise to God. God didn't wake up Sunday morning and go, oh, my goodness. God knew what was happening. And so we don't understand that. We have to trust the Lord in this. But He does help us in trouble. He doesn't promise to take us out of trouble. He promises to walk us through trouble and know where God is. He's in the middle of it. That's the point I'm making here. Know who He is. He's our help in trouble. Know where He is, which means He's in the middle of the trouble. In the middle of that horrific time with my brother, the presence of God was so real. Our family is a praying family. I have history of pastors in our family. We felt the presence of God. We know that the waters roar, the mountains shake, but God is in the midst. He's not absent in times of trouble. He hasn't left us alone to deal with the situation. And then the third point is to really get your eyes off of those uncertain circumstances and not be moved by the trouble around us, as Daniel was told, but to put our eyes firmly on the Lord, understanding that if we keep our eyes fixed on Him, just like Peter walking on the water, that He will keep us lifted up and He will help us get through that difficult time. Just remember, He's working in the situation and He works all things for our good. Even the bad things in our life can be turned around and used for something good to help us be stronger in our faith.
Great day for us all to read Psalm 46. Dr. Linda Mental, thank you so much for your time today. I always appreciate your insights and your great work. So we'll hear you Saturday morning here on the Faith Radio Network, and I pray that you have a good week.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
25 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.